Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Lindsay Pollack is a leading expert on training, managing, and marketing to millennials. Through keynote speeches, consulting, books, and media appearances, Lindsay helps organizations solve today's generational challenges and develop tomorrow's global leaders. She provides engaging, memorable, and content-rich programs for executives, employees, and conference attendees. She's the author of the best-selling Getting from College to Career and recently published Becoming the Boss, New Rules for the Next Generation of Leaders. Lindsay, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you for having me.
Let's just jump in. As millennials find themselves these days stepping into management roles within organizations, what do they bring to the job that members of past generations did not?
Well, first I would say in framing this topic, I do specialize in the millennial generation, but we have been dealing, and certainly the AMA has been dealing with training new managers forever. So there are a lot of issues, I think, that are specific to millennials, but I think they also bring, as you mentioned, some of the things that other generations do, like lack of experience in management. But what I think makes the millennials stand out in particular is a couple of things. The first, of course, is technology. The millennials are what we consider to be the first digital natives, so they really grew up with technology. So they essentially speak a different language than other generations. They go to technology first. They're more comfortable communicating through technology, managing and leading through technology. And the second thing I would say that makes some difference is I think they really come in with a different level of confidence, which some people, of course, call entitlement. But millennials feel that they have been kind of groomed for leadership roles. They've been getting a lot of attention their whole lives from their parents, teachers, coaches, really the media saying millennials are so important to our future, the largest generation in American history. And it's probably not surprising. I conducted a research project with the Hartford called the 2014 Millennial Leadership Survey, and we found that 83% of millennials already consider themselves to be a leader today, whether they're in a leadership role or not. So that natural level of confidence tied with their technical knowledge, I think, makes this generation quite different than what we've seen in the past.
Do you have any advice on managing former peers and friends? What steps can a person take to make existing peer relationships more professional?
So this was probably the question I heard most from millennials. How do I manage my friends? That's very challenging for a collaborative generation, a generation where they're kind of famous for everyone getting a trophy on the soccer team and so forth. So I turned to a lot of leaders who I know well to ask this question and get their advice. And what came up over and over again is that you have to take it upon yourself when you're in the leadership position to have that difficult conversation with your friend or to set that boundary. So if you're in a position, let's say at the company holiday party where everybody is going out afterwards for drinks to the after party, you know it's going to get a little bit crazy. It's really up to you as the leader to say to your friends, you know what, I would love to come as your friend, but as your manager or as the leader of this team, I really have to say no. You know, I hope you understand. So you can't wait until something potentially bad or awkward happens. You have to take it upon yourself. The next, I think, is to really have faith in your friends that they will be okay with it. Don't assume that your friends are feeling awkward about your being the leader of the group if they're not. We're kind of in a world where they could be your manager someday. Things are moving very quickly, and there are a lot of paths to leadership. And the final thing I would say is really be worthy of their respect. You know, you don't have to show off or say, I'm your boss now, but you can show them that you are working really hard, that you're doing the best you can, being a good leader to that person and others, and really ask for that person's support as a friend to say, hey, this is something I'm really excited about. I'm really trying to do a good job. It would be great if you could let me know how I'm doing, or I'd really appreciate your support on this. So sometimes giving your friends the benefit of the doubt, even if you're managing them, can be a really simple but effective way to become their boss without making it awkward or uncomfortable.
Okay, I'm going to challenge you on that just one level deeper and say, can you give me some tactics here? What should I do if and when former peers of mine challenge my role and disregard my authority?
So the first tactic, you know, you have a couple tactics. One is to deflect it. I talk in the book about respect, deflect. You know, there are a lot of different things you can do. deflect is, oh, come on, Dave, you know me, I'm doing a really good job, and I know you're doing a great job, and stop razzing me, or, stop bugging me about this. So if you have that kind of relationship, that can be one tactic of making light of it if it is not really offensive or in front of other people. If it's a private moment, I think you can deflect. If you want to confront, for instance, if your friend challenges your authority in a really important meeting with higher ups, I think that would certainly be a moment when you have to confront them, but I would do it in private after the moment. I would never do it in front of other people. I would never exercise your authority in front of others, but I would take them aside in a quiet moment and say, you know what, I really didn't appreciate that. I'm working really hard in this role. I know it's kind of awkward because we're friends. I think a tactic is to call it out that there is awkwardness, not sweep it under the rug, and say, what's going on? What can I do to make this more comfortable for you? I think it's really equally up to you as the new leader and to your friend to make it work. So ask them, am I acting differently? Is there a way that I can make this more comfortable for you? And maybe they'll say, you're talking down to me, or I find that you're giving everybody else attention and not me because you don't want to play favorites. You may not even be aware of the behavior that you're exhibiting in front of your friends. So calling it out and acting on it, I think, can be very positive. And I think the third tactic is maybe someone's not that good a friend if they're not going to be supportive of you. If you give it a couple of tries, you call it out, you try to set an appropriate boundary, you ask them to treat you better, you ask them what you can do. If it still becomes really difficult, I think that's a sign that maybe it wasn't such a strong friendship in the first place, and maybe your role as manager is going to be the new reality and you won't be as close friends. And I certainly interviewed people who said when they became boss, some friendships ended, and that was okay because it wasn't as strong as they thought in the first place.
Lindsay, if a young person, a young professional, let's say even a new manager, they come to you and they're looking for advice about building their personal brand, what do you tell them?
So personal brand has become a really popular phrase today, particularly among millennials, because so many people are switching jobs so frequently, whether internally at their organizations or externally. You as an individual, particularly a millennial who's most likely to change jobs frequently, you have to think about what your professional reputation is. What do people talk about when they talk about you? You have to actively manage that. So a couple tips for building a personal brand. One is to really think about how you want to be known and start reflecting that back to people. So if you want to be known as very professional, very authoritative, then you want to dress professionally. You want to use action words and be very concise and authoritative in your email messages. If you want to be creative, start talking about the creativity of the projects that you're working on. If you want people to know you as the go-to person for a certain software or a certain type of problem solving, make sure that that is in the very tip-top headline of your LinkedIn profile so that anyone who meets you or sees you online will see that immediately mentioned on LinkedIn. So it's really a combination of acting the part, doing the things that you want to be known for, and then reflecting those things back in the way you portray your personal brand. When you introduce yourself to people, you can tell them some areas that you particularly work on. Again, in your LinkedIn profile, make sure the keywords that relate to your personal brand, creative, professional, leader would certainly be a popular one. Those can all come back in the way you portray yourself. And when I do workshops with companies, we actually do that. I ask millennials and other generations to list three words that they would want people to say about them, and then three ways they could become more like those three adjectives, and also three ways they could actively work those particular words into the way they describe themselves in their introduction, on their social media profiles, and elsewhere. But it's very much in your hands. It used to be a company would sort of guide you and help you build your reputation. I think it's very much in the hands of the employee today to craft and communicate that brand. And some people don't like the term brand. It really just means your professional reputation.
Mm-hmm. Do you recommend any type of formal training for new managers?
I do. I wish we had more. I don't think there's a lot of formal training, particularly at smaller organizations, nonprofits, small companies, and so forth. And even at large companies, a lot of people just get a couple of hours of leadership training or they're handed a book. Not that there's anything wrong with being handed a book, particularly mine, but I think you need a lot of training. And when we asked people in the Hartford Millennial Leadership Survey what they most wanted their companies to do to show them that they were interested in them, the number one answer by far was training, development, and mentoring. Millennials want to be invested in. they want their individual managers and their companies to teach them, to educate them, and I think leadership is just one area where that is. So I would love to see more formal leadership training at a lot of organizations. I think in lieu of that, if you're a millennial who wants to become more of a leader, you have to take some of this on yourself. You have to take online classes, watch some TED Talks, read as many books and blogs and Twitter feeds as you can on leadership and management. There's so much information out there. Certainly at the AMA, sign up for leadership classes if your company isn't doing it for you. I think a little bit of education can go a very long way. I think you can also learn by observing the good managers that you've had in your career and the really strong leaders at your organization. There's leadership by formal training, which is important, but also leadership by watching other people, and particularly because millennials are going to have to become leaders earlier than other generations, as so many baby boomers are retiring, we're going to have a lot of people stepping into leadership very quickly and sometimes 5 to 10 years earlier than other generations might have done. So I think formal training is absolutely crucial, and it also builds loyalty and retention among millennials, so it's good for everybody.
And what type of tips might you have for women managers who need to get support from mostly male teams?
That's a tough one, and I tend to look at the world through generations, you know, millennials managing boomers and so forth, but there are a lot of different ways to think about diversity and possible reasons for conflict or lack of buy-in, and gender certainly plays a role. Race and ethnicity can play a role to personality type, introvert, extrovert. As a woman, this is obviously an important topic for me. And I think where I often find the challenge is sometimes women have lower levels of confidence than men in these situations. I think first is to not make an issue of your gender if nobody else is. Same thing for age. Don't assume that just because you're a woman and someone's a man that they won't have respect for you or that you should be intimidated. Don't make an issue where there isn't one. I heard that from a lot of women leaders. I also think you have to really get to know each person as an individual. So spend time with each member of your team. You don't want to see them as just the guys who are all one block, but spend real quality time with people on the team. Find out what motivates them. Talk to them about what their career plans are. And I think the best strategy is really to treat each person as an individual, to treat each situation as it needs to be. And if there are types of situations that don't play to your strengths as the leader of the team, for instance, if you're more introverted and this team is wild, loud guys, then you might not be the best in a large situation. Maybe you'll do small team meetings and smaller lunches or coffees or one-on-ones more often. So get to know each member of the team and what they need, but also play to your own strengths as a woman, as whatever your personality type is. And don't be afraid to lean toward those things as opposed to trying to be the leader that you think that team should have. A lot of people respect you for being authentic. I would also find a mentor who's been in that situation that you're in, you know, ideally a woman leader who has managed a large male team. There's certainly plenty of them out there, and that person can offer really specific tips and strengths and confidence-building techniques if you find yourself in that situation.
Now, you've got me curious. Do you think that millennial women managers have certain advantages or disadvantages that previous generations of women managers might not have?
I do. I think everyone's different, but as a general rule, I think that millennial women and men are more confident than members of other generations, have sort of a natural confidence. I think a lot of millennial women grew up in a more, not an equal situation, but a more gender equal situation. So at school, a lot of girls were on teams with boys. A lot of girls were in competitions and thinking about themselves as equal to boys. Certainly college and graduate school, the levels are much more equal, that you would have just as many girls in a class as boys. This is also essentially the first generation to have a lot of working mothers. So the mothers of millennials were often the working baby boomers who were dealing with work-life balance, dealing with negotiating with their bosses and so forth. So I think they have, just by their generation, a lot more role models of women in leadership, you know, more women in Congress, more women in leadership roles in a variety of fields. We're certainly not there yet in terms of equality or women in leadership, but certainly this generation grew up with a lot more visibility of women in leadership that impacted them. And even if you look at a book like Lean In, you see a lot of examples of baby boomers and Generation Xers struggling, and I certainly have heard millennials say, well, that's not going to be us. You know, we're not going to have those problems. Unfortunately, we see gender imbalance in sort of newer fields like technology, but I do think this generation feels like they're going to make strides in that area.
All right, let's flip this. And let's say I'm a non-millennial boss, but obviously I have millennial employees. How can I become a more effective boss, especially if these millennials are, I mean, they're used to working under their own terms and timelines when they show up, when they go home, casual aspects of the work that they do, obviously hardworking and team-oriented and whatnot, but I need to have them sort of fit in, not necessarily conform, but be good team members. What type of advice do you have for that type of person seeking to be a more effective boss?
Well, I certainly acknowledge that it's challenging for other generations to lead millennials. We certainly hear that a lot because they are very different. So as a manager who really wants to excel in this area, you have to be willing to flex a little. I do not advocate completely changing everything about the way you lead for your millennial team members, but I do think you have to flex. So flexing means being a little bit more understanding of millennials who want to work from home or want slightly flexible hours. If that can work in your environment, bend a little bit on those issues. I think in terms of rewarding good work or giving feedback on negative work, millennials really respond to peer feedback and peer affirmation. So internal reviews, peer reviewing works very, very well with this generation. The idea that your peers are choosing who's done best on a project or who deserves to be rewarded on a project is a real motivator for millennials. So you as a manager don't always have to be the one giving feedback. I've also seen managers do really creative stuff. Like, millennials like rotational programs. They like a diversity of work. So even if your company doesn't offer a rotational program for jobs, I spoke with a leader who said, well, on my team, we rotate projects every week so that everybody can learn about all the different aspects. They can really develop their skills. So they kind of develop their own rotational program. Any kind of flexing, offering of diversity, listening to what millennials want. I spoke to one manager of millennials who said they have weekly story time where millennials can ask any questions about the big picture on the projects they're working on so that they understand what their role is in any project. That can be a motivator as well. So take millennials' desire to be leaders, their feeling that they already are, and even if they're in a very junior position, show them what the big picture is, and that can be very motivating for them and also help you get the best work out of them. But certainly talk to as many people as you can who manage millennials and pick up some of those tactics, because I think there's a lot of really creative stuff going on.
Another challenge we have these days is my team not necessarily in the same room with me or on the same floor or in the same time zone. Do you have any advice for people who have to manage a team that might be mostly remote, where face-to-face communication is impossible or close to impossible?
It's very challenging, and I think millennials are going to be quite good at this because they are so good at communicating through technology. So I think number one is to respect and treat equally everyone on your team, whether they sit next to you or whether they are on the other side of the world. So that means if you communicate with your team, make sure that you are conferencing or teleconferencing in all of those remote locations, even for spontaneous meetings as much as possible. A lot of managers told me that with remote teammates, they make really strong use of instant messaging so that just as they would casually drop by the desk of one of their employees who are there in person, they could casually just IM all day with the employee who's on the other side of the world, of course, with time zones permitting. They also are respectful about scheduling things at times that would work for remote employees. So if you have members of your team in Asia, you're likely inconveniencing them with your meetings on a regular basis. So sometimes inconvenience yourselves by doing things at a time that's convenient for them. Make sure that you're treating everybody equally as much as possible. And when possible, a lot of millennial leaders, I think it's a myth that we think that millennials only want to communicate through technology. They absolutely respect in-person and understand the importance of spending time with people face-to-face. So when possible, when budgets permit, as often as you can get everybody physically in the same room, it's always going to be valuable. And a lot of managers talked about even once a year, whatever you can do, trying to get everybody face-to-face. And I've even heard people talk about virtual coffee dates now or virtual lunch dates where you're just sitting at your desk with the other person on Skype and you're chatting while you eat lunch together. So anything you can do to enhance that relationship by doing things that you do with your other employees is going to be great. You also want to be very, very clear, extra clear on deadlines, extra clear on project progression and making sure that everybody is on the same page. Again, because you don't have those casual encounters in the hallway on the way to the bathroom, you've got to make sure that you are managing the workload and the project deadlines, et cetera, of your remote employees as much as everybody else, even if it means putting a post-it note on your computer to remind you every day to check in with that person. Do what you need to do to treat them equally. It's a challenge, but I think it's a really, really crucial competency for anybody leading today and into the future.
I frequently heard millennials referred to as digital natives, and almost everybody else, all of us old folks, as digital immigrants, because they grew up with this technology. They have no fear of it. It's all they've ever known. Is there any way I can leverage millennials to help people who aren't as comfortable with the technology get up to speed? Is there a way to do that where it isn't too awkward and it sort of makes sense?
Absolutely, and I think that's the untapped resource that we all have. Millennials love to teach what they know, share what they know, and leverage it. So if you are marketing to millennials, put together a focus group of your own employees to talk about that. I do that all the time at the Hartford. We have a rule that anytime we talk about marketing to or working with millennials, we have to have at least one millennial in the room. So I think that's a great rule of thumb for any company. With technology, I think Jack Welch, when he was CEO of GE, was the first one, right when the internet was starting in the 90s, to say, get me an intern in here. I need someone to teach me the internet and social media. And he got one of the youngest, least experienced people in the company to come in and teach him what to do. So that really started the concept of reverse mentoring, which I think is so valuable in the workplace, that you can have relationships, whether formal or informal, where the more experienced baby boomer or Gen Xer is guiding and traditionally mentoring the millennial, but the millennial is guiding and teaching and mentoring the older employee on things like technology and social media. It comes so naturally to them, and because they're natural leaders, as we've talked about, they really like to do that. So leverage that talent, not only with your employees and your leaders, but I think with your customers or clients as well.
Now, when you're presenting at a conference or you're doing a keynote and somebody asks you, hey, I'm a millennial manager, but half of my team are baby boomers, what advice can you give me about how to manage these old folks?
First, don't call them old folks would probably be a really good strategy. I think it's similar to what we've talked about with managing a friend. First and foremost, which I heard from everyone, is don't assume there's an issue if there's not. The world is changing so fast. People have all different kinds of managers. There's so much change in the workplace today that a lot of people are just going with the flow. You know, they've had managers in China, they've had managers from India, they've had managers who work remotely, they've had managers who are 20 years younger than they are. So don't assume an issue if there's not one. The second is not to play into stereotypes. So dressing too casually or using too casual language, hiding behind technology was a big complaint about millennial managers. So make sure if you need to have a difficult conversation with the people you manage that you can do that face-to-face or by phone. So make sure that your communication skills can cross that generational divide. You can't speak to your employees just the way that you are comfortable. You have to learn to speak to them in a way that will motivate them and resonate with them. And with many baby boomer and even Xers, that tends to be face-to-face or phone. So you've got to build that competency. And then I think it goes back to, again, what we talked about with peers. If someone challenges you or says, you're young enough to be my granddaughter, you know, you can laugh about it and make a joke. Or if it becomes really problematic, you have to confront it. You have to say, you know what, I know it's funny, but I'm the manager. I think I'm in this role for a reason and doing a good job. You know, is there anything I can do to make you more comfortable? But to really draw that line and say that that behavior is just not okay. They wouldn't criticize you for other things. They wouldn't call you out for anything other than your age. But it does undermine your authority. So if it becomes a problem, I think you will gain more respect by confronting it. But more young managers than not told me that they anticipated a lot of problems being the youngest, but they really didn't see that. And in many cases, it was their really strong technical skill. This was often in technology companies, but any role that requires strong technical knowledge, they found that people older than they were really respected them for it. And if they worked hard to be a good manager, it really wasn't as big an issue as they had worried it might be.
All right, and a question I've always wanted to ask Lindsay Pollack, and I'm not sure I've ever done it before, and you've written books on the subject and presented on this. If a person has you in the elevator and they've only got you for 30 seconds or so, and they ask you, what's the single most important piece of advice you would give a young person who wants to move into a leadership role? What would you say?
Lead everywhere you can right now. Take on projects, raise your hand for volunteer assignments, write blog posts for the internal company blog. It is in your hands to act like a leader before you are one. And again, the Hartford research found that 83% of millennials say, I already feel like a leader, so act like you already are one. Often companies have to see you acting like a leader and taking on leadership characteristics like raising your hand, taking on difficult work, giving public speeches, talking in meetings. You can do all of that before you're in a leadership role, and that is the single most important step to getting there.
We've been speaking to Lindsay Pollack, and you're going to want to check out Lindsay's new book, Becoming the Boss, New Rules for the Next Generation of Leaders. Lindsay, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.